Blog Talk Radio.
Well, when I think of His grace and His mercy, just one word comes to mind, and that word is amazing. Company?
Every day. Young people going to stand up real quick. Come on. Come on. Yeah, we got to. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get. Come on. Fifth ward. Fourth ward. Come on. Sing it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It is Monday. Monday. That's right. Monday, August the 21st. 2017, and Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side studios located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. I am your boy, your host, Minister Dana L. King, and I'm all by myself today. All by myself today. That's right. That's right. The good pastor, Pastor Parks is doing his daddy duty today. First day of school. He had to take his fifth or sixth grade. I'm not sure what grade she's in, but he had to take her to school today. So that's where he is today. But we're going to keep him in rest and prayers. And he also had to deal with some church stuff about a shooting over on the south side today. So he's out there as well. But look, man, it's going to be a good day. I can't wait to get to this one. This is the topic that we were supposed to do last week, but y'all know we got caught up in the whole Charlottesville to conversation. So that's where we ended up last week. But this week, we're going to actually do that article today. Why dying churches die. Why dying churches die. That's the deal. That's what we're going to be talking about. It's going to be good. I'm excited about it. But let me give you the rundown of how you can be a part of today's show. Let me give you access on how you can be a part of today's show. If you're already listening on the line, simply push 1. Just push 1, and you can be a part of today's show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. We would love to hear from you. If you are on social media, so are we. Simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us right there waiting on you. If you are on Twitter, you can tweet the show. Tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you that way. If you want to email the show, you can email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We would love to hear from you that way as well. Also, the live streams are up and running. Ustream.tv, Ustream.tv. Let me check on Ustream because y'all, Ustream was acting funny. A whole lot of stuff was acting weird. Yeah, Ustream.tv is not up. Let me take that back. Ustream.tv is not up and running. Facebook Live, however, is. Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Or you can just go to my own personal page, any of my pages, Dana King page, the Minister King page, Pursuing God Ministry page, any of those pages you want to go to, you can find us there. We'd glad to talk to you and listen and have some conversation back and forth with you that way. Also, you can subscribe to our podcast by simply going to your iTunes account, your Blogger account, your Stitcher account, however you decide to get your podcast, whatever you do. Or as they like to say, just Google us and you can find our podcast anywhere where you have access to podcasts. If you got the internet, you can find us. No matter what your phone plan, even if you got Boost Mobile. Well, maybe not with Boost Mobile. Do y'all get free minutes with any Boost Mobile people on the line? Let me not be petty. Any Boost Mobile people on the line, I don't want y'all using up all y'all's minutes, saying that y'all used y'all's minutes while y'all was trying to listen to the show. But even if you got Boost Mobile, if you got access to a plan, you ought to be able to get in contact with us. Amen, amen, amen. Anyway, let me start. Let me stop playing. I'm excited to be here. So, look, everybody is talking about, let me go ahead and talk about it. Everybody is talking about this eclipse, right? Everybody is talking about this eclipse, right? Let me go ahead and turn this music down. Everybody is talking, that's my part, though. Hold on. That's my part. That's my boss.
All right.
Anyway. So everybody's talking about the eclipse. Now, unless you're living under a rock, sometime today, I think, let me make sure I got my times right. I think it's going to be about around 12:15 or 12:19. Or is it 1:19? I need to get my time right. Central time zone or whatever. I need to get my time right to see exactly when we should be able to see the eclipse. So let's see. I'm just going to read you this real quick. It says, Sky Watchers, see, people are already now down. People are downstate. Y'all know we're in Chicago. So people are downstate in Illinois right now trying to get ready. In Carbondale, it says the total eclipse will start around 1:20 p.m. and it will last for about 2 minutes and 38 seconds. So that's the same time for us. It says viewing conditions in Carbondale are expected to be good, but clouds are expected in the Chicago area during the eclipse. In Chicago, the eclipse is expected to start at 11:54, peaking at 1:19 and ending at 2:42 p.m. So roughly right at about 1:20 p.m. here, we should have the total eclipse of the sun, which means it should look like dusk. Yeah, it should look like dusk, like the sun is going down. So it's actually kind of exciting. I know people are kind of superstitious, and you got folks who have all these different thoughts and meanings about what they believe the eclipse is supposed to stand for. You know, if you ever studied any other religions or anything, you know, some people believe that the eclipse has some sort of major significance with special powers and all this other kind of crazy stuff, and it's about a prophecy and all this other kind of stuff. The Bible, at least not to my knowledge, and I'll stand corrected if somebody could tell me different. But the Bible doesn't really say much about eclipses. Not that I've seen. So I know some people have been, and don't y'all be sitting up talking about this is a sign of things to come and all this other stuff. Y'all don't buy into that. Don't buy into that. The only thing that the Bible talks about as far as eclipses go is I believe it's in Isaiah. I think it's somewhere in the book of Isaiah, and it talks about the constellations, something about the stars stars of heaven and their constellations won't flash, and the sun will be dark, and the moon won't shed its light and all that kind of stuff. But they you know, everybody wanted, you know, talk crazy. Now, interesting is now dealing with the book of Revelations. Now, Revelations 8 and 12 does say something quite interesting about the eclipse. It talks about I read the King James version for you. Revelations 8 and 12 says, "And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so that the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part, and the night likewise." So y'all like, what? Like, what you talking about, Dan? The English Standard Version, I'll read the English Standard Version just so I don't lose nobody. The English Standard Version says, and the fourth eight, no, let me get the English Standard Version. Okay, there it is. It simply says this, "And at the sounding of the fourth angel, the third part of the sun and the moon and the other stars was made dark so that there was no light on the third part of the day and of the night." Now, y'all, you know, you got these super deep folk. Don't try to take that and run with it. Why? I don't know, because I don't know what y'all trying to say. It ain't got nothing to do with the rapture. It ain't got nothing to do with the tribulation about to start. Nobody knows anything about it. Okay? They can't tell us nothing about it. They can't predict it. They can't give us no information. It is exactly what it is. It is an eclipse that happens every 100 years around here. So it's not nothing for y'all to be afraid of. Guess what? You know what? Go out, enjoy it. Have a good time with it. You ain't got to be all scared because the sun is going to be dark for a couple of minutes. Get over it. It's a part of science. It's a part of meteorology. It's a part of all of that. But if y'all gonna sit up and be upset and worried, I mean, you really have people. I've been reading some crazy blogs this morning, and people are talking about this is a sign of the second coming. You know, be on the lookout for the sound of the loud trumpet when it goes dark. Like really, That's what we on. We that doggone scared of the eclipse that we're afraid that something crazy is. Man, look, folk, if you already was crazy, you're going to be just as crazy because it's going to be dark for 2 minutes. Now, I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see it. I know a lot of people were talking about getting married under the eclipse. Yeah, they had people like all outside and they had scheduled their weddings. People actually want to get married right at the crux of the eclipse. What that do? Somebody help me. What do that do? You know what I'm saying? I get it. You want, you know, but it's like, wow. I'm excited because, you know, I got a little geek in me, so I'm excited to see it. So I'm glad it'll be going on right at the end of today's broadcast. It'll actually start about 10 minutes before we end, but I'm hoping to catch a little bit of it. They got all this different stuff, satellites and all this stuff, waiting to watch it and all that stuff. But, you know, it's all good. What's going on? Let me speak to some of the people in the room. I saw some of y'all pop in, but then y'all dipped out real quick. So I don't know if y'all having issues with the feed or not. Not sure. Hopefully you're not. But man, so much. It's just, you know, I like that. But my good friend Rashad says, says fear is like salt. It can be sprinkled on anything if you stupid. You know what? You ain't right. You ain't right, Rashad. You are not right at all. At all. You ain't not right. But we go. You are not right at all. That's hilarious, though. That is hilarious. But so many people are like really up in arms. I mean, and it's like on every news channel. Every news station is covering this. So y'all know how my thought process is. Why everybody looking up in the air, what are you missing? You see what I'm saying? Everybody is looking up in the air. Now, everybody is going to be focused for the next 2-3 hours. Come on. Everybody's about to be focused for the next 2 or 3 hours. They're telling me to check my audio. I'm not sure. Tanya, can you check the audio on Facebook for me, please, and let me know if something is going on? Because I don't know that anything is going on, but if y'all tell me something going on, then we'll try to get that fixed. But yeah, I'm just a little shocked at how people are the response. But y'all know my feeling on this deal is, are we about to be distracted? What's about to go on? What's about to go on in the rest of the world that we're not gonna be paying attention because everybody's gonna be busy looking up in the sky? Okay, I see what you said there, Richard. I'm gonna have my producer's gonna look into that and confirm that for me. I'm not sure if it's a internet issue or what, but everything is good on my end. So it could just be an internet issue. I'm not sure. Hopefully we'll get that worked out in a matter of moments. It'll clear itself up. Normally that's what it does. You know, when you're dealing with internet providers and such, you kind of stuck based off of what they do and what they give you. So, but yeah, we're gonna hope that that's all good and it gets cleared up shortly. It gets cleared up shortly. Anyway, what else is going on? So, man, you know what? I don't even know if people notice this or not. Here in the city of Chicago, there were, I believe it was sometime Saturday, between Saturday and Sunday morning. I saw it Sunday morning. Friend of the show, Father Michael Flager, posted it and sent it out. There were 32 shootings in 13 hours. Y'all get that? Between Saturday and Sunday, 32 people got shot in 13 hours. Is that right? I mean, for real, 32 people in 13 hours were shot this weekend? how crazy is that? I mean, if that's and I'm like, are we serious right now? I mean, this makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Now, I'm seeing y'all, this thing is telling me that the video, one page is telling me that the video ended. And on my page, it still says I'm live, so I'm not sure why it says the video ended. But, yeah, anyway, we gonna figure it out. Anyway, I'm looking at the comments because I didn't see any of these. Now I can see all of these comments on this side. It says I'm breaking in and out. Let's see here. Mary McNeil says, well, they worry about that when they're going to do what they're going to do when the end of the world. yeah, I'm not sure what's going on, y'all, with the good old Facebook. Don't ask me. I'm not sure if it's the internet or what, but we're gonna try to get it corrected. Hopefully, like I said, it should correct itself. We're gonna figure it out in a moment. It's going in and out. Okay, yeah. So we'll get it figured out, y'all. We'll get it figured out. But let me do this. I'm gonna take a quick break. I'm gonna see if I can change. Doing something different on the Facebook side. We're going to take a real quick break, and then we're going to continue our conversation today because it's going to be good. It's going to be good. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back, y'all. Don't go nowhere. TTLO Radio, taking limits off. We'll be right back, y'all. Peace. Amen, amen. For your name is to be praised. Now, hopefully we got this thing together, y'all. We were able to get the Facebook Live feedback up. I don't know what's going on. Y'all know it's, you can't, you know, you're dependent on other stuff to work. Sometimes it just don't work, but we're going to be all right because God is still, as Pastor Miller likes to say, God is still on the throne, no matter how bad it looks. No matter how bad it looks, God is still on the throne. So even though we got some technical difficulties going on, and I think it's something going on, period. You know what? Could be the eclipse, man. Y'all know everybody on right now, everybody live all over the world right now. They Facebook could be having all kind of issues with all right now, so who knows, but the Facebook feed is back up and running, so y'all can go ahead and get back in there on that and come on back in. It's coming on back. I see y'all. Come on in the room. God bless y'all. Let me tell y'all something right now. Y'all some dedicated folk, and I really, really do appreciate y'all in the best way. I really do. Y'all some dedicated folk. I do appreciate y'all for constantly coming in and listening and sharing your opinions and your thoughts with what we do around here and what it is we're trying to do, what it is we're trying to accomplish. Well, real quick, man, big shout out to you know, all of the people yesterday who to my alma mater, Austin High School. Big shout out to the Tigers winning the annual battle against Steinmetz High School and the softball tournament yesterday. What was that score? 25-6 or 7? Was that right? Y'all beat them boys up. Y'all beat them boys in green up like that. 25? What? Are you serious right now? What? Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it. So big shout out to the Tigers. I know Steinmetz a little mad. They waiting on us, and I know the next deal is the bowling tournament. Now, I missed the bowling tournament last year because I bowled in the league on Saturdays, and I couldn't make it in time. But I promise y'all this, I will be there to represent for the bowling tournament this at the end of the fall, whenever it's going to happen. I will be there ready to support and lend a hand or two to my squad, the Austin Tigers, over here on the mighty west side, in the Austin neighborhood of the city of Chicago. I'm excited about that, man. So y'all need to come on and get ready for that. It's gonna be good. I already know it's a mess. It's gonna be some mess being talked and all that good stuff. But we ready for it. We ready for it. So let the fun begin. It's all good. So hey, look, I want to do this. I want to jump into the article. I want to give it as much time as necessary because there's some really, really good stuff in it. Big shout out again to the Austin High School squad. And look, I know some of y'all. Now let me say this: I don't want to play spoiler. Let me get to this real quick. Y'all watch Power and Game of Thrones because they messed me up yesterday. Now, I don't know about – I know some of y'all don't really know – y'all don't get into the science fiction, you know, the mythology-type TV shows and all that because y'all, you know, y'all too cool for Game of Thrones. I'm going to tell you right now, Game of Thrones is for the cool people. I'm going to tell you right now, if you ain't watched the episode, if you ain't down with the Game of Thrones crew, y'all ain't ready. And don't none of you super, super holy people come telling me, well, you know, Game of Thrones ain't of God and all this. You get off, y'all. You can hang up on me right now. Ain't no sense. You even don't even try it. Talking about this, that, and the third and all of that. Y'all can let that go. But look here. That doggone Power on yesterday. That doggone Power is, I don't want to play spoiler because I know some of y'all ain't watched it yet. So I ain't going to say. But I'm going to tell you right now, you need to get you a little tissue. And just be ready. That doggone Power. My. I'm just done with it. I am done. I am outdone. I was just too outdone by what the stuff that I saw on that TV show yesterday on Power. And then Game of Thrones, I'm going to tell y'all right now. That doggone Daenerys Targaryen, Yeah, the dragon queen, the mother of dragons, the queen of the Andals, all of those things, the breaker of chains, all of that stuff. That sister ain't no joke. But oh, my, them there White Walkers, that's all I can say. That's all I'm going to say. I just need y'all to watch it for yourself. We'll talk about it some other time. So I'm in here by myself. Because, see, Parks don't watch Game of Thrones. Don't nobody else watch Game of Thrones. Oh, do anybody else even watch Game of Thrones that's affiliated with this show? Am I the only one? Am I the only member of the crew that actually watches Game of Thrones? I know some of y'all watch Power. But I think I'm the only member of the crew that actually watches Game of Thrones. And that's not good. I'm gonna need some help. Tanya, can we find somebody? We need to, you know what? We always looking to try to enhance and add to the people around here. Can the next person we get to be in here as a co-host, that needs to be part of the questionnaire? You know, y'all real good with questionnaires around here. Y'all, we need a questionnaire for all new hosts and co-hosts of the show. Do you watch Game of Thrones? I need to know up front before we, you know, extend an offer. I need to know their doctrinal statement on Game of Thrones before they come in here. I just need to know. We only got one season left. Next week is the season finale, and then we got one season left. So I need folk in here who gonna be able to walk with me through next season. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to need somebody to help me walk through the next season of this thing. Because I can understand how y'all folk actually don't, y'all literally do not watch. How is that even possible? I know some of the coolest people I know that would never even watch a show like Game of Thrones that watch Game of Thrones. Literally, they watch it all the time. That's what I'm saying. So don't give me this. You too cool to watch it or all this other stuff. Don't give me that. Don't give me that. Look. It is one of the best shows on television. It has everything. It has politics. It has religion. It has drama. It has mystery. It has magic. It has heroes, villains, sex, all of that stuff, man. Except it's just on a grander scale. And it's got dragons. I mean, hey, you know. It ain't Puff the Magic Dragon, you know, but they got some dragons. And y'all need to just come on in and stop acting like y'all don't watch these TV shows. Y'all need to come on in and act like y'all watch these shows just like the rest of us do. And that doggone, I'm going to tell you right now. So if you have not watched Power, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but it messed me up. It just really messed me up, and that's all I'm gonna say. And you just need to, you know, have somebody sitting next to you when you watch it. That's all I'm gonna say. You might need to, you know, you might need a hymn, you know. Cause at the end, I wanted to start singing. There's a leak in this old building. My soul has got to move. Okay, let me stop. I'm just saying. I just. It was a little rough. It was a little rough. Y'all ain't going to help me, but it's all right. It was a little rough. It really was. It was. It just messed me up. So if you haven't watched Power, go ahead and watch it. And I need some Game of Thrones. Where's my Game of Thrones fans? I can't be those. I'm going to check and see. Do any preachers, is there any pastors and preachers that watch Game of Thrones? Or are y'all too deep? You know what I'm saying? Are y'all too deep to watch Game of Thrones? Are y'all too, you know, y'all too spiritually connected to sit down and enjoy Game of Thrones? I just want to know. So anyway, Facebook is still doing its own thing, y'all. I thought it was me, but it's not. It's Facebook, so it's still doing its own thing. If y'all are having trouble with it, it's gonna close itself up whenever it decides to do it. But it ain't me. It's Facebook. So because my internet connection is good over here, and I'm on. You know, we broadcasting at 100. Download at 100 and up and upload at 34, so it ain't us over here. You know, I like to blame Comcast, but I can't blame Comcast this time. So it's something going on with Facebook, and it's probably because everybody and their mama is downstate right now trying to broadcast this doggone eclipse. But anyway, so look, we're going to jump right into today's conversation. I'm going to get me something. I'm going to grab me some water because it's a little humid up in this here office in this office, rather, in this studio. I'm going to grab me some water. What's going on? Y'all speak to the brother when y'all come in the room. I know y'all probably spoke on the first video on part one, but I had to restart. So let me know you're in the room. Say something to a brother. But we're going to be right back, y'all. I promise it ain't going to be long. We're going to be right back in about a good few minutes. No longer than 35 seconds. Be right back, y'all. TTLO.
This is your word that you've been waiting for all night. Darwin, where are you? How many know that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all you could ask for things, according to the power that worketh in us?
Hallelujah. How many believe it tonight? Somebody turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, he's able. Tell somebody else, he's able. Y'all ready?
Exceedingly, abundantly, above all, all you could ask for. According to the power that worketh in you, God is able to do just what he said he would do. He's gonna fulfill every promise.
Man, that's one of them. You know how you got your certain songs that you miss singing? When we had a praise team here at the church, I used to love that song. Had a young fellow named Brian used to lead that song. And that song was just something else to me. That he's able. Love that song. I love that song. That's old Diedrich Haddon and what's the big fella's name? They call him the Gospel Luther, Darwin Hobbs. Yes, sir. I see y'all coming on in. I see some of y'all speaking. Some of y'all ain't. Some of y'all just in here chilling, but it's all good. God bless you. Thank you so much. I see you, Pat Hicks. I see you. Who's that? Tamla King. I see you. A couple other folk. Who was that? Jerry Galls, Marion Hester, Yvette Quinones. I see some of y'all done came in. God bless y'all. God bless y'all. Keep coming. It's gonna be good. But let's jump into today's conversation. This is good, man. This is good. This was the article that was scheduled for last week. Dana Miller, what's going on? This is the article that was scheduled for last week Monday. But of course, we had Apostle David Rogers in and dealing with everything that happened over in Charlottesville and then the violence here locally and our special president 45 and all of that stuff. We decided to just forego that article, but it just kind of fits right now, though. It fits the paradigm of what it is we want to talk about today. It's going to be really, really, really good. So let's just jump into that, man, because I'm excited about this. And it's simply entitled "Why Dying Churches Die." Why dying churches die? I'm going to try one more time for my Ustream people because I feel bad that Ustream is not working. Yeah, it still ain't working, y'all. I don't know what it is. It's just not. The page won't load, so it's not. And it's probably because they overwhelmed too. Because everybody's trying to broadcast the Eclipse, but you know what? I'm on. You know, y'all go ahead. I'm gonna keep doing this thing over here. So anyway, here's the deal. So again, the article is entitled "Why Dying Churches Die." Why dying churches die. That's today's conversation, and we're about to jump right into it right now. Oh, Shiante Bulis, what? Look at God. God, he's still a miracle worker on a Monday. Bless the Lord. So this is what the writer says. This article is actually fairly recent, written by Tom Rainer. Tom Rainer writes awesome books for ministry. And if you in a ministry, let me say this. If you're in a ministry that's fledgling ministry, meaning a ministry that's just like barely making it or barely surviving, you ought to invest in some leadership books. I know we read the Bible. I know we like to read our scriptures. But and here's the deal. A lot of times, if you're not, let me say it this way so I don't offend nobody. If you're not competent enough to understand what it is you're reading, you need to get some other reading from someone else where they've taken the time to extract from the Bible the information that you can use to help you regain control of your ministry. See, I like to read everything. I'm actually excited. I got 6 days. School starts in 6 days, right? School starts in 6 days. I'm looking through the book list that, you know, and we don't even want to talk about the price of the book. We just gonna not focus on the price. But I'm looking at the different classes that I'm scheduled to take, and I'm like, wow. So that means all these books, and I'm going to have to, like, just sit down and read and download. Hopefully they're all digital. Praise God. Hopefully they're all digital books, because y'all know I got a thing about real books. It's just me and real books don't get along. But one of the things that I definitely want to try to get across to people is you need to get information that you can use and learn how to use it the right way. Please understand what I'm saying. Reading the Bible is an absolute necessity. It is an absolute necessity. However, that can't be the only book that you read. Purpose-driven life. Rick Warren has a bunch of purpose-driven life. He has purpose-driven life. Then he has purpose-driven life for young adults. He has a purpose-driven life for youth ministries. He has all the and they fit. Nobody's saying you have to take these methods and use them all because they said use them. But what it is it gives you – it's simply a blueprint. That's the word I want to use. It's simply a blueprint to help guide you through processes that might be unfamiliar to you. So why not use this information in a way that not only helps you but edifies the people. These are some amazing books. Rick Warren is an amazing writer. Tom Rainer is an amazing writer. I saw my brother Keith Gordon just popped on. God bless you, Keith. But I'm sure he can attest to this. Keith reads the Bible, but I can tell you right now, I've seen pictures of this brother's library. He has books on top of books on top of books on top of books. The Bible ain't the only book he reads. And I consider him a scholar of the word. Good friend of the show as well, Pastor Gerald Dew. They don't only just read the Bible. They read books. Because here's the deal. Your way of doing ministry has been around for years. You don't think people have documented their successes and their failures and things that worked and did not work? Why would you not want to read about somebody else's successes and failures so that you can avoid some of the pitfalls that they had? Why would you not want to be privy to that information? That's good info. End of the day, that's real good info. But let's go ahead and jump on, man. Y'all want to make comments or whatever? And let me ask y'all this question: What was the last good book some of you all read? Christian book. I'm just curious. What was the last good? Or are you reading anything right now? Are you reading anything other than the Bible? Are you reading anything? And this is the deal. You should read something. My producer is avid. My producer reads. She reads a lot. She likes real books, though. You know, she likes the handheld. You know, you can fold up and then, you know, like this right here, you know, book. See, I can't, you know. I lose like this book. We had this book right here. What is this book? 31 Thoughts for Inspiration and Everyday Wisdom. We had this author on the show maybe 2 years ago, right? Andrew Kitaka. And this is his book that he gave us to the show. And it's been sitting in the studio ever since he gave it to me. Now, it's a good book. And I had it and I read it. But it's been sitting in the studio because I'm bad when it comes to keeping up with books. The only book I'm going to keep up with is the Bible. The rest of them books, they come up, you know. So I'm better off downloading a digital version of the book. And that way I can read everywhere. That's the other advantage of having digital copies of the books. You can read them anywhere. You can have them on your phone, your tablet, your pad, anywhere, and you can be anywhere and read. But anyway, let's jump into this. I'm gonna spend these last 40 minutes dealing with this today's article. So this is what the writer says. This is what the writer says. Why Dying Churches Die by Tom Rainer. The writer says this. The doctor told my dad he was dying. He says, our family physician was a kind man, a true friend of the family, but he was firm. He says, Dad was on the short path to death. He says, my father then, 58 years old, had been smoking for 4 decades. He says, I suppose this time in the military in World War II proved to be the primary impetus to his taking on that bad habit. His peers smoked. There were hardly any voices suggesting the evils of smoking way back then, and it proved to be a relief and an escape from the ravages of the war he witnessed day after day. To be clear, our doctor had not declared to my dad that he was terminal. At this point, there was no cancer present. The only sign was early onset emphysema.
Hmm.
Wow. God bless you, Felicia Martin. I see you. He says, but the kind physician could see all the signs. He says, Dad had to make a major and dramatic change or he would die within a few years. Indeed, it might already be too late regardless of any changes he made because he never stopped smoking. He says, Dad was diagnosed with terminal cancer at age 61. He died 1 month after his 62nd birthday. Wow. He says, many churches are also dying. Many churches are also dying. He says, some are so sick that they are a few years, perhaps just a few months from death. But too many refuse to do anything. Any potential and dramatic turnaround will not take place because these churches are doing nothing. Why? He says, why? He says, why do dying churches walk resolutely down the path of death? Why don't they attempt something dramatic, something bold? The writer says, I've worked with too many of these churches. Allow me to share 6 common responses to these questions. Wow. So here we go, y'all. Why dying churches die. Remember, when you come in, y'all say something to somebody, speak so we know y'all in the room. I don't want to ignore nobody. Facebook has got different. It's telling me one amount of people is in the room, but one screen is telling me something different. So I won't know unless y'all come in and say something to the people. You know, act like you know. Act like you love the Lord. Speak to the preacher and speak to the folk in the room. Amen. This is what the writer says. This is what the writer says. The writer says, number one, they refuse to admit they are sick, very sick. Oh, my God. They refuse to admit they are sick, very sick. The writer says this. He says, I have worked with churches whose attendance has declined by over 80%. They have no gospel witness in the community. Uh-oh. They have not seen a person come to Christ in 2 decades. Oh, my God. But they say they are fine. They say nothing is wrong. Wow. Wow. They refuse to admit they are sick. Oh, my, 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 my. They refuse to. Here's the deal. You've ever had a cold? And, you know, we can be stubborn sometimes. We can be stubborn sometimes. You ever had a cold but refuse to do anything to fix it? You ever had a cold and refuse to take any cold medication? You refuse to take any cold medication. You just say, no, I'm not that bad. I don't have no cold. You constantly coughing, you constantly sneezing. And when somebody says, hey, it's not like you're coming down with a cold. No, I'm not. That's the first thing you say. No, I'm not. You ever experienced that or know somebody that's like that? And that's refusing to acknowledge that you're sick. So instead of acknowledging that you're sick and doing something about it, you go on about your merry way pretending that there's nothing wrong, even though your body is giving you all the signs that something just ain't right. I think that's the problem with a lot of our church. A lot of our churches, and again, I'm not talking about successful churches. This article is dealing with dying churches. Remember, the title of the article is Why Dying Churches Die. And that's what it's dealing with. It's simply dealing with folk who don't want to admit when their church is in trouble. They refuse to admit that church is in trouble. That's amazing. That's amazing. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Number two. Number two says this. Number two says this. We're talking about why dying churches die. Number two says, uh-oh. Y'all ready for this? Lord, have mercy. My God. Woo! Jesus. Number two says this. They are still waiting on the magic bullet pastor. Oh, my God. They are still waiting on the magic bullet pastor. Y'all say, what does that mean? Let me read it. The writer says this. Their reason, if only we could find the right pastor, we would be fine. I'm reading an article. Don't y'all get mad at me because I know I got some folk watching and they thinking some other stuff. I'm just reading what the article say. The article says, but they bring in, watch this, but they bring in pastor after pastor. Each leaves after a short-term stint, watch this, frustrated that the congregation, oh my Lord, was so entrenched in, hey God, was so entrenched in its ways. So the church starts to search again for the magic bullet pastor. I'm going to just post it so y'all don't think you're making it up because, you know, I know. Oh, Lord, my. Let me, oh, my, Lord, have mercy. They are still waiting on the magic bullet pastor. So the thought process is, if we only could find a pastor, we would be all right. Can I help somebody? You got a sickness. Oh, my God. Y'all stay with me. Don't miss this. You got a sickness, and you keep going from doctor after doctor after doctor. They all done told you that something is wrong with you and you need to make some changes about yourself. But instead of you making changes, you keep trying to go for the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth opinion. Everybody is telling you the same thing. The same story has been told to you over and over again, but you keep thinking you're going to find the right doctor that's going to tell you something different. I don't care who your pastor is. If y'all are messy before the pastor get there, you're going to be messy when the pastor get there. If your life is full of hell and all you do is keep up mess everywhere you go, when the new pastor come, you're going to be the same person, still keeping up mess, still raising hell, and two things are going to happen. Either he's going to frustrate him and run him off, or, watch this, or he going to put stuff in line to a point where your mess will no longer be allowed. But there is no such thing as a magic bullet pass. I can tell you right now, I know some churches, I will not call them by name, but T.D. Jakes could walk in the door tomorrow and it would not make a difference. I want to read what the writer said one more time. He says, each pastor leaves after a short term. They're frustrated that the congregation was so entrenched in its ways. Meaning y'all so stuck in y'all ways, my God, y'all so stuck in y'all ways that y'all won't allow anybody to come in. See, because here, can I talk? Okay. I need, wait, Tanya, I need you to be on the thing and just send me a note if I go a little too far because I feel like, let me say this. Some of y'all just want to be shouted. I'm going to say it, and I don't care who don't like it. Some of y'all just want a pastor that's going to make you shout, that's going to make you jump, going to make you do backflips, and make you feel good. But the question is, after all that shouting is done, after you do all that hallelujah, after you do all that amen, are you actually listening to the words that are coming out of the pastor's mouth? Are you ready to make the changes necessary to live the kind of life that very pastor was just talking about? Or do you just want to be, see, some folk just want to be shouted. They don't want to be taught. Pastor, you all right with me? Because, oh, I feel, oh, you know you preached. Oh, you know you preached. What did he preach about? And what about that sermon had to do with you? See, when you can take that home with you, because see, we can, let me tell you right now, anybody can put together a good sermon. We all know that already. Anybody, but here's the problem. What about the rest of it? What about Are you ready to do the things necessary to live the life that the preacher just preached to you about? Or are you just waiting on the next one to come? And oh, hallelujah. Ooh, he gave me a word. Did he? What word did he give you? Because, see, these very people, because here is the deal. Somebody ought to be able to tell you without going to their notes or whatever, what scripture did your pastor or the preacher who preached at your church come out of yesterday? Don't go grab your Bible. Don't grab your Sunday school book. Just go in there and tell me, where did he preach from? Now, I can tell you right now, the young man that preached at our church yesterday, Reverend John Miller, came out of Psalm 134. But here's the question. Why all y'all shouting and jumping and all of that, are you listening to what's being said? Or do you just want to be shouted to? You just want to be, woo, I felt good when I left. I like the way he made me feel. I felt good when she got through preaching. I felt good when he got through preaching. I felt so good about it. Did you? Did you really feel good about it? So what did you do differently after you left the church? Huh? See, but we're so stuck in our ways. If you really felt good about the word you got, what changes did you immediately recognize in yourself that you had to make? Just like when you go to the doctor and the doctor says, hey, you know, your blood pressure is a little high. Your cholesterol is a little high. You got these things look a little rough. You need to make some changes. Now, it's up to you to start implementing the things to make the change. So I'm asking y'all the question again. After the preacher gets done preaching, can you pick out the things that concern you from the sermon? And this is another problem I have with some of y'all. Y'all sit in church and y'all shout hallelujah, y'all shout praise the Lord, and you ain't taking not one note. Not one note. You know what I love about watching certain ministries? I watch a lot of ministries on television before I get to church, and I watch them afterwards. I watch their social media feeds. And big shout out to Pastor Reggie Royal, man, love this brother. He is in South Africa this week. He's in South Africa ministering in South Africa. But here's the deal. They can be having a spirit-filled service. That man can be up preaching them folk crazy. And they will get up and shout hallelujah. But watch this. Every other person you see stand up in this church, shout hallelujah, you got a pen and a paper in their hand. Don't miss that. They got a pen and paper or a tablet, and they are taking notes. Why? Because yes, you said something that touched my spirit. But guess what? You also said some stuff that I know I need to go back and look at again, because this stuff is going to affect my future. But we get so caught up, as the writer says, entrenched in our ways. So the church starts to search again and again for the magic bullet pastor. Y'all keep on doing it. And I said this to somebody yesterday. I equate some churches that are going through pastor after pastor after pastor. I equate y'all to the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls and the Bears. Because here is the deal. The Bears done been on, I don't know how many coaches they done had in the last 10 years. How many coaches have the Bears had? I can think five off the top of my head. Five or six in the last 10 years. Right? That's a lot of coaches. But they still have the same problems, right? Same issues, right? Same stuff still going on. Even though they've changed coaches four or five times in 10 years, they got the same stuff going on inside that organization. So you tell me, is it the coach or is it the leadership of the organization? Huh? Come on, somebody. Don't miss it. Is it the coaches or is it leadership organization? Chicago Bulls, same way. Same folks are in charge. John Paxson. Who's the owner? Reinsdorf. And what's the other guy's name? God Foreman. I believe they're still there, right? Bulls ain't did nothing. Is it the players' fault? They on another coach, right? Or is it the players' fault? Or is it the organization's fault? Is it the leadership's fault? Come on now. Y'all. Don't get, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. There is no such thing as a magic bullet pastor. Because for one, you're putting too much responsibility on him when you're not taking responsibility for your own mess. Ooh, come on, let's go. See, I knew I was gonna get. I knew. I must be doing all right. I didn't get the stop sign. Amen. But I'm gonna move on. I'm gonna move on because I felt something else coming. Number three. And again, we're talking about why dying churches die. Number three says this. He says they fail to accept responsibility. They fail to accept responsibility. He says, I recently met with the remaining members of a dying church. He says their plight was the community's fault. He says those people should be coming to their church. He says it was the previous five pastors' fault. Oh, my God. Or, watch this, or it was the fault of culture. If everything returned to the Bible Belt mentality of decades earlier, we would be fine. So watch this. The church, this is from the dying church. The dying church is blaming everybody but themselves for why they're in the predicament that they're in. Let me read this again. He says, it's the community's fault because the folk in the community ought to be running in the dough. They ought to be running the dough because guess what? Because we got the doors open. So just because you got the doors open, they ought to be running the dough. Let me ask you this question. You ever drove past some restaurants? You know, some of these storefront restaurants up and down the city of Chicago, and you drive through there, and it's empty. People walking past there every day. Obviously, it's empty for a reason. Because either the folk who know about it going to get what they want and leave, but they're not doing anything to attract new people. Because somebody, I done been in there, I done tasted what you got, I wasn't impressed, I left and went somewhere else. It's a million places in the city of Chicago you can get chicken. So unless you're doing something really amazing with your chicken, everybody ain't coming to your spot. Come on, somebody. Don't miss me. Don't miss this. I'm trying to keep it simple for you. Nobody's going to come running into your church just because you got the door open. Huh? Ain't nobody just going to come running into your church because you got the door open. It don't work that way. You have to compel them to come. Huh? Wait a minute. Let me get the next part of this. Let me give you the next part of this, number three. Come on. Then he says, it was the previous five pastors' fault. Oh, so now the reason your church is in bad shape is because of the other pastors that was there before. So y'all in the predicament y'all in because of the other people. So it was the last pastor's fault that left. That's why the church is in the shape it's in. Am I reading that right? Is that what the writer's saying? I'm just reading the article. Y'all don't get mad at me. I'm reading the article. It says it was the previous pastor's fault. Because we can't take no responsibility for our issues. We can't take no responsibility for the part we played in the mess. We can't take no responsibility in our faults. Yeah, maybe the pastor had some shortcomings. Maybe the pastor couldn't do everything, but how much of that was on you? How much of a person leaving was on you? So we need to start taking some accountability and some responsibility for the messes that we create. Some of y'all churches are in trouble right now for messes that were created 15, 25, 30 years ago. Some of y'all are in trouble right now. Because you allow these men, instead of you addressing the mess, you cover it up. Oh, my. Instead of you recognizing that there's some stuff wrong in the camp, huh, you cover it up. You ain't got to believe me. You ain't got to believe me. When there's mess in the camp, oh, my God. When there's mess in the camp, when there's some mess in the camp, when you allow sin to fester in the camp, when God has told you this thing needs to be checked and corrected, and you do not check it and correct it, you bring hurt, harm, and danger to everybody else in the church. That's why you got folk in the church coming up sick that normally wouldn't be sick. Okay, I'm going to talk about it. That's why you got folk in the church that are just dying that shouldn't be dying. That's why you got babies in the church that are sick that otherwise shouldn't be sick. Folks having complications that otherwise shouldn't be having complications. Why? Because God is trying to relay a message to you hard-headed Negroes who will not listen because you think what you're doing is the right thing. You ain't got to believe me. You don't have to believe me. You might say, hey, you know, he just talking. He just talking crazy, and we ain't got to really listen to that and all this other stuff. But let me help some folk who might be a little lost as to what I'm talking about when you don't address stuff. In Joshua Chapter 7, it's the story of Achan. It says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took the accursed thing, so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. They went out and they had a war. God told them to destroy everything, burn it all, destroy it. Don't allow, we don't need it. You won, you don't need it, destroy it. What did Achan do? Achan said, yeah, I understand what the Lord said, but this is some good stuff. And I'm going to take this good stuff back to the camp. And I'm going to bury it. Instead of addressing it the way God said do it, I'm going to take it with me to the camp. And I'm going to bury it underneath my tent. And then what happens next is they started losing battles. And then they start wondering, well, why are we losing? Ain't God with us? How come we losing? Why ain't we growing? Why is this stuff happening to us? Why is this being allowed to happen? Well, son, there's sin in the camp. Come on now. They found out there was some stuff in the camp. They found out that one of the ones who was supposed to do what they were supposed to do didn't do what they said they was going to do. And so watch this. Once they found out something was wrong, the Lord says this. Joshua was upset that they lost the war, right? They lost the battle. And Joshua said, Lord, what happened? Why did you do this? And he was on his face praying. And the Lord said this. He says, look here, Joshua. He says, Israel has sinned, and they have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded thee. He says, for they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it amongst their own stuff. Oh, my God. And then he goes on a little further down in Joshua 7, was it around chapter 14, he says, there is an accursed thing in your midst. And he says, you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing. Uh-oh, my God. He says, I can't let you grow, my God. He says, I can't let you grow no more. He says, I can't let you see no more successes. He says, I can't let you go no further until y'all address some issues in the camp. Oh, I'm not talking about a business meeting, church. I'm talking about a church meeting. So you need to have a meeting where you just start addressing some stuff in the camp and by some folk in the church who just been running around bad-mouthing and putting their mouth on folk and some folk who just running around keeping up mess in the church and all kind of stuff. But see, I can't let you grow under them circumstances. So until you address the sin in the camp, I got to let you lose. Oh, my. Ooh, that'll preach right there. What time is it? 1:13. Somebody write that down so I know. That'll preach right there. Ooh, I'm going to let you lose until you obey. Ah, my God. So what you're saying, preacher? What you're saying? I'm saying something real simple. The writer says this. You need to learn how to accept responsibilities for your actions. Your church ain't in the condition it's in necessarily because of the pastor. He didn't do it by himself. He had some help. You an accessory after the fact, huh? Some of y'all are accessories to the crime, but you just ain't got caught yet. The church still paying for it. Yeah, the pastor left. Couple of pastors done left. 2, 3, 4 of them done left. You still here, though. deacon, you still here, trustee. All these different pastors that left here, either they done been carried out or they done walked out. But all of them left, and you still here, and you wondering why the church ain't growing. Maybe it's because of the position that you still in. Huh? Look in the mirror, my God. Woo! Help me, Holy Ghost. Number four. Come on, y'all. We're going to make it through this. Number four. Again, we're talking about why dying churches die. Why dying churches die. Number four says this. Uh-oh. They are not willing to change at all. Woo! They are not willing to change at all. The writer says this. He says, a friend asked me to meet with the remaining members of a dying church. These members were giddy with excitement. They viewed me as the great salvific hope for their congregation. He says, but my blunt assessment was not pleasing to them, especially when I talk about change. He says, finally, one member asked if they would have to look at the words of a hymn on the screen instead of on a hymnal if they made changes. He says, I stood in stunned silence. And he says, soon walked away from the church, and that same church would close its doors 6 months later. They are not willing to change at all. Now, y'all know this to be fact. Some of y'all churches ain't willing to change at all. Because you don't want your hymns on the screen. You want to be able to pick up a hymn book. But half the hymn books in your church is tore up. I don't hear nobody saying nothing. That's okay. You don't want all of this new stuff. You don't want to change the program. You want to keep doing all this same old stuff because you feel like eventually it's going to work. Even though the Lord is saying, I want to do a new thing in you. Even though the Lord is saying, why would I pour new wine into old wineskins? But you want to keep trying to refill and reuse them old wineskins. And with the wineskins, see, they were made out of leather and cowhide. And once they dried out, they got rotten. So if you poured new wine in, it all of a sudden now it starts to leak. Oh, my God, watch this. So now all that good wine you're pouring in there, it's not sustained because now it's coming out on the sides and it's going to waste. That's what's happening in the church. We're pouring good money after bad. Oh, my God. We keep, instead of getting the thing fixed, instead of just getting a new thing, we keep trying to put money into an old thing. Oh, my God. Instead of you getting it done correctly the right way, instead of us going to the doctor and getting stitches the right way, we want to just put a Band-Aid on it. See, we want to put Band-Aids over bullet wounds in the church. But you got folk with 12-gauge shotgun holes walking around the church, but we just want to pray for them, huh? We don't want to take them to the doctor because, see, here's the deal. When you go to the doctor, you're going to find out what's really wrong. So, see, I'm going to avoid the doctor because I really don't want to hear what the doctor has to say. The doctor going to start telling me some stuff, and then he's going to point it out to me. Because, see, this is what's wrong. We don't want it to be pointed out to us. How dare you tell me what's wrong with me? Who are you to tell me what's wrong with me? I've been in church longer than you've been alive. You can't tell me what's wrong with my church. Uh-huh. You're right. You're absolutely right. I can't tell you what's wrong with your church. But I can tell you what's wrong with God's church, the one you claim to be representing. I can tell you the reason that God ain't in that place is because of the way y'all acting. I can tell you the reason that the church is not growing is because of the way y'all are acting. I can tell you the reason the church is not growing is because of the way you're speaking to each other. I can tell you the reason the church is not growing is because of the way you're treating each other. I can tell you the reason the church is not growing is because of the way you ignore the community in which it sits. Why the hell would the community come to a place that ignores it? I ain't going nowhere, you ignoring me. Huh? It's like I told y'all, go to a restaurant. You know, one of them nice restaurants with the host or the maitre d' at the front desk. And you stand there. I don't care how good your suit look. I don't care how nice the restaurant is. I don't care if it's got 5 stars listed. But if you stand up there and that maitre d' comes up there and he starts talking and seating everybody else but you, or he's so busy talking and flirting with the waitress, come on somebody, that he don't see you standing there waiting to get a table. Tell me how often you gonna plan on coming back to that place. Huh? When it's another restaurant right up the street. Why would I go somewhere for poor service when I can walk a couple of blocks and get better service? You know how many restaurants there are downtown Chicago? You know how many steakhouses there are downtown Chicago? If I go to a steakhouse and they mistreat me, guess what? You can go right to hell. I'm going to go to the steakhouse up the street because I know I'm going to get better service. I'm still going to get my steak, but I'm going to get better service. I'm trying to help somebody. You got to learn. I want to go back to part number two. Part number three. But you have to learn to accept some responsibility, and then be willing to make changes based off of what's been discovered. It don't take a rocket science to tell folk to walk in the church and see there ain't no love in the building. It don't take a rocket science to see that. The best example are little kids. Little kids know. Little kids know. Little kids know when you on some BS. Help me. Little kids know. Because they don't want no positive, because they get a sense. They get a sense of they can't trust you. They get a sense of they can't trust you. So they want no parts of you. That sense is still in people. God gave people a sense of discernment. So when they walk in the place, they say, oh, my God, there's a heavy spirit in this place. And that's why it's so hard for y'all to praise the Lord on Sunday. Can I talk? That's why it's so hard for some of y'all to praise the Lord on Sunday. Because you're so busy. You're so busy keeping up mess. And it's the spirit is so heavy in the church that there is no room. That there is no room for God to operate. There is no room. How do you expect him to operate in all of that mess when there is little to no room? Amen. Ain't that something? 9 minutes left in the show and Ustream just came up. God bless y'all. I don't know what happened, but it just popped up. But it's amazing to me that that's where we are, not willing to change. Then he says they got upset because he gave them a blunt assessment. Blunt assessment. Watch this. Blunt meaning he was direct when he spoke to them, meaning he did not sugarcoat the situation, meaning he says, look, if y'all don't change y'all's nasty attitudes, if y'all don't change the way y'all treat each other, if y'all are not better Christians, if you all are not more community engaged, then this place will close. See, some folks need to have that harsh conversation. Some folks need to hear that. And it don't just need to be, watch this, it don't just need to be, because here's the deal. You can't talk to the leadership team all the time. Because let me help you right now. If you got the same leadership team that's been in place for over 15 years, right, and the church has been in decline for 15 years, right, and you've changed pastors two or three times in 15 years, but the same leadership team is still there, the person coming in, he don't need to address the leadership team. Because, see, they have no inkling or no will to make changes. He needs to address the whole congregation and put the leadership team on notice that, hey, look, y'all go and put the church on notice and say, look, if y'all keep this same group of folk in leadership, your church will be closed in 6 months. Huh? Don't act like you don't hear me. If you don't do something to change it, you won't have it. Let's go. Number five. We got 7 minutes. I'll see. I got caught up. Number five. We got 7 minutes. Number five says this. Their solutions are inwardly focused. The writer says this. He says they don't want to talk about reaching the ethnically changing community. They want to know how they can make church more comfortable and palatable for the remnant of members. Oh, my God. You don't even care nothing about trying to address the changing community. You just want to keep the church the way it is so that the current membership and the old folk in the church are comfortable. So what you're saying is, we don't care nothing about getting no new folk in the church. We don't care nothing about drawing new people in. We just want to keep the old folk comfortable. Then you know what you're running. Oh my God, help me, Lord. This just hit me. Y'all ain't running the church. You're running a hospice. You're not running, you know, people like to call the church a hospital. But see, hospitals are there to make people well. But see, you're not running a hospital. You're running a hospice. A hospice is simply there. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. A hospice is simply there to keep folk comfortable. See, ain't no more help for you. Uh-huh. See, that. Oh, help me, Jesus. Ain't no more help for you. See, a hospice is there simply to make you comfortable through your transition. See, a hospital is there to help you get better and back up on your feet. A hospice is just to make you comfortable. And that's what a lot of y'all churches have become. Y'all ain't running hospitals where folk can come for healing and folk can come for direction. You running hospices where say, hey, come on, sit down. We got a nice big bench for you. You sit over there and we just going to make you comfortable. My. I shout myself right now. Yeah. Y'all ain't running hot. It's a hospice. Oh my God. You just want folk to come in and sit down. You don't want them to learn nothing. You don't want to disciple them. See, discipling means I gotta teach you and correct you on some stuff. Making you comfortable. Comfortable means come in with all your baggage. Come in with all your problems, and we're not going to try to change you. We're not going to try to give you any direction. We just want you to come in because, see, we want you on the roster. We want you on the roster. We want your tithe check. We want your offering. We want your pledge. We ain't going to bother you about your lifestyle. We don't care that your life is torn up. We don't care that you're going through hell. That don't really concern us. We just want you on the road because we need members. Oh, my. I felt that. Let's go. Come on. Tanya, what we got? Three minutes. Number six says this. He says, they desire. Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. I didn't write this article. I know y'all going to say I did, but I didn't. He says, they desire to return to 1985. The writer says they desire to return to 1985, 1972. Let me read it again. 1985, 1972, 1965, or even 1959. He says, those were the good old days. If we could just do church like we did then, everything would be fine. See what I'm saying? That's the thought process right there. They want to go back to 1985. They want to go back to 1972. Watch this. Would you drive your car from 1985? Huh? How many of y'all want to go back to the house you was living in 1985? How many of y'all want to go back to what you were doing in 1985? Let me read the rest of the article. The writer says this. He says, those churches are increasing in number. Culture indeed has little patience with me-focused congregations, much less so than say 15 years ago. He says, is there hope for these churches? Will these dying congregations indeed die? He says, I've seen God intervene a few times in such situations, but in every case, the church has turned its face to him and forsaken all of their own preferences, desire, and human-centered traditions. But most dying churches will die. I pray that your church, if it is indeed on the path to death, will be the rare exception to the glory of God. Oh, my Lord. That blessed me. I don't know about y'all, but that blessed me. That thing right there. I hope y'all recognized this. Now, I wasn't trying to pick on nobody, but let me get up out of here. I got to go. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much for what it is that you've done, God. We thank you for continued blessings, God. We thank you for your continued perseverance in our lives, God. We thank you for your steadfastness in our lives, God. We thank you for not giving up on us, God, the way we give up on you every now and then. God, we thank you for continued mercies, God. We thank you for new mercies morning by morning, God. We thank you. We love you. We extol you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, y'all, I got to go. I got to get up out of here. Y'all stay blessed, man. And let me know what's going on with the eclipse, right? It done passed Chicago already, right? It's 1:30, so it hit, or is it still in the process? So it's passing right now, and I'm looking outside. It done got real dark over here on the west side. So I'm trying to see. I'm finna go out here and see if there's any monsters running around, because y'all got folk out here thinking it's monsters coming out the ground or something, like Thriller video. I don't know what y'all doing. Anyway, I got to go, man. Y'all stay blessed. I love y'all, and look at it. Do me a favor. If you got to drive through the city we call Chicago, please, please keep your head on the swivel. Gotta go. PLA.